Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
On my days where I'm practicing the tools and I'm practicing the habits, I feel like a ball of sensual energy and power. I feel like I can attract whatever I want. I can feel connected to the energy in my... Like, I feel it. I feel the excitement. I feel the turn on. And I gotta say, going around with that fire lit up in my body feels so much better.
So much better. So
it's like rocket fuel.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. So there's a misconception out there that once women become moms, their sexiest years are over. But as my guest, Dana Meyer, explains, that's nonsense. And as a mom, she can prove it. Dana is the founder of sex and beauty brand Booty Parlor, but she's also a wife and mother to two children. On today's throwback show, she shares secrets from her book, The Mommy Mojo Makeover, to help women rediscover their sensual self-confidence, fall back in love with their bodies, and masturbate for self-care. We also talk about resentment in a relationship and how to fix it, and why mothers deserve a sense of sexual entitlement. Yes, moms, you deserve sexual pleasure. If you want more of it or know a mom who might, this is a can't-miss conversation. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, join me in setting an intention for the show. I do it. I encourage you to do the same. So when you're listening, what do you want to get out of this episode? My intention is to help normalize the notion that parents have lots of sex with each other or with themselves. It's a myth that having children immediately ends your sex life. And on today's show, Dana myth busts that for us with a special focus on moms and motherhood. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. My article, Ask Emily, How Do We End a Dry Spell, is up at sexwithemily.com. And check out my YouTube channel for more sex tips and advice. If you want to ask me questions, leave me your questions or message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily. Or call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And totally cool to change your name if you want to remain anonymous. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Dana Meyer is an author, sex tech pioneer, and founder of Booty Parlor. She's also the creator of the Mommy Mojo Makeover Workshop Series, live events that help moms learn to create a satisfying sensual experience of motherhood and rekindle intimacy with their partner after kids. Find more Dana at danabmeyers.com, on Instagram at danamyersxoxo, and Twitter at danabmeyers.
Let's start with the women. How do we help them after kids?
There's so many things that happen after kids. I mean, I think, you know, some of the most common problems are like this loss of self or this loss of identity. Like, I was once a really sexy woman and now I'm just in the mom zone. I've lost my libido. I'm saddled with all these domestic duties. I'm juggling work and family life. It's like women are looking outside of themselves for their libidos. And there's this shift that has to happen. It's like, no, your libido still exists. It's there, women don't feel so empowered to take control of it. So the workshops I do, the new digital program that I'm launching, it's all just like little bite-sized tips and tools.
Which is perfect for moms.
It's so perfect. Because they're like, it has to be short. Workshop.
Yeah.
I find that sometimes people talk about sex in these very lofty terms or very philosophical ways, and women get overwhelmed. They say, I can't accomplish that. It's too much. And so I like to make it really simple for them.
Yeah, okay, that's good. You went through this and you've had kids.
Yes.
Two kids. Yes. How old are your kids? I'm 9, you said? And
almost 6 and almost 9.
Okay. So yeah, you've had your handfuls. You went through the whole thing and you looked around and you're like, where the hell is my libido? And you've been married for 16 years?
Married for 14 years.
It is inside of you, but what about like hormones and how about being kind to yourself and saying, well, it's going to take some time to get your body back after kids, get your libido back.
Once your hormones get somewhat in check again, and look, some women obviously have more severe hormonal issues, but once your hormones kind of level out after breastfeeding and after birth, I think it's more about lifestyle changes, right? I really do. Unless you can follow like a very sharp food protocol that's going to boost your libido. If you're a mom, or really if you're just a busy woman who is out of touch with your libido, I think you have to address your exhaustion first. Because if you're exhausted, you're probably not communicating with your partner. You're more irritable with them. You're not practicing enough self-care. So it's like, I always say, if you're exhausted, it's hard for your libido to thrive in that physical and mental space.
Right.
So you got to treat yourself like a baby. I always tell people, treat yourself like a baby. If you saw an exhausted baby who was crying and felt so irritated and was overtired, you'd be like, come here, little baby. Let me wrap you in a blankie and put you down for a nap. You know? And so it's like, heal your exhaustion first. Take a nap. Rest more. Take stuff off your plate. Do less.
It's so hard, though. What about mom guilt? And like, I feel bad. And what about my kid? And
well, you have to give yourself the permission to not feel that way. It's like nobody else can do that. Mom guilt is so pervasive and it's so heavy. And it comes at you. It comes at you from every angle. Right. In almost every situation.
Yeah.
So the only way to get out of that is to give yourself permission do so.
And even if it's daily permission.
Minute by minute. Literally minute by minute permission.
Like, oh, I can take a nap. Don't feel, I can't do laundry. You could do laundry. You can do laundry after the nap, back to the nap, right?
Like, yeah.
This is what I have to do now for myself.
Yeah. And giving yourself, I call it permission to ditch. Permission to ditch out on 3 things that are on your to-do list that are stressing you out, because you can't be in your feminine sexuality and your sensuality if you're depleted. It doesn't make sense. It's not possible. I know people are listening to you for sex advice and we're going to get
No, we don't even have to. This is for everybody. I'm learning that, like, because self-care is such a buzzword right now, and it's not just like getting a massage or
no.
Whatever. It's like
it's saying no. It's doing less.
Saying no.
It's napping. It's masturbating. Masturbating before you nap. You know,
yes.
Put those two together, and it's like kill 2 birds with 1 stone.
But even if you are the busy mom, I mean, the busy entrepreneur, the busy whatever, it's like it still is this like. You're always doing and not being, you know, you're always going, going. And how do you just accept that it's okay to take time for yourself, that you're a better human, a better mom, a better everything?
I mean, I think you can just literally stop, look in the mirror and say, I'm giving myself permission to rest. I'm giving myself permission to skip that. I'm giving myself permission to say no to that extra meeting or to that extra dinner. I'm giving myself the permission to say no to that school committee that, you know, that's happening at your kid's school. It's like, nobody can do it for you.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
And no is a full sentence.
No is a full sentence.
No.
Like, I love feeling that word in my mouth.
No.
No.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, it's not going to work. No. But when we're pleasers or we feel guilt.
And that's just natural to women, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really
so
is.
So natural to us.
Yeah.
Is to please and to give and then struggle to receive.
And we need to reach out to friends too. Like, was that a big part of it? Finding the right friends.
Community.
The community.
Totally. And then within that community, nurturing the conversation about sex and sensuality and pleasure, right?
Yeah, it's let's like, talk about, because you're probably that friend in the group.
I'm definitely that friend.
Yeah,
you're that friend. You're that friend.
Yes, I'm that friend. You're that friend. But I always tell women, if you don't have that friend, be that friend.
That's right.
Right?
That's such great advice.
Yeah, and talk about what's going on, because then we're always assuming that all of our friends are having better sex than we are.
And so what happens is when you open it up, you know, you share problems and then you share solutions as well. And you can also discover new turn-ons just by talking about the question, what turns you on? on.
Yeah.
Something that your friend turns your friend on, you may be like, I never thought about that. That's an interesting.
Give me an example.
I mean, okay.
No, I love hearing those. Does that have to be yours? Could be a friend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so my friend, you know, has a sexual fantasy about hot steak. Okay. Uh-huh. It's actually my fantasy, guys.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. But, you know, I have this fantasy about hot steak being put on my body as foreplay. Now, I've had this fantasy for a long time. We've never done it. Charlie and I text each other pictures of hot steak all the time. I don't know why if this has never happened. Charlie, if
like
you're listening,
steak,
this is happening.
Like wearing lingerie or just sizzling on the grill?
So my husband is amazing on the grill, right? So I get turned on by his food. I am turned on when he cooks for me.
I'm almost turned on.
I'm hot and horny right now thinking about him at the barbecue, and like he creates these amazing meats and they're like golden and crispy and hot and they steam and it really turns me on.
I'm turned on and hungry.
So the next layer to that fantasy, because I'm always fantasizing, that's a huge key to having a high libido for me, is I'm constantly creating sensual inputs in my mind, right? So I think about the yummy food and then I get excited and then I'm like, well, why not like put a piece of that sizzling steak on my body and eat it off of me. Yeah.
You've told him that or you think that?
Oh, no. He knows the full fantasy, every detail.
Right.
The fact that we have not, you know, accomplished this,
yeah,
brought this fantasy to life, I think is just because, yeah, like, when we're barbecuing, we always have, like, friends over or the kids are around.
Right. So. But let's talk about fantasy for a minute.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it is something that women, a lot of women are like, oh, they feel guilt about it, or they don't even know where to conjure up things. So I love the idea of women sharing it.
And that's the truth. You know, we were not taught in school or by our parents, hey, fantasy is healthy, right? We were not taught that. So we didn't grow up with using fantasy as a healthy habit to increase our sexual energy. And so talking about it with your friends, being the leader, opening up that conversation, not only, like, I don't know if any of my friends thought, oh yeah, steak turns me on too, but there might be one other weirdo out there in my group that actually thought, oh yeah, or that triggered, maybe that idea triggered something in them. Oh, I want to lick whipped cream off a strawberry.
Exactly.
Like, it's just sharing.
I like the way he makes my martini.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like,
sharing is caring when it comes to sex talk.
Yes.
And you're always going to learn something from your friends when you open that conversation.
Right. Have you always been a big fantasizer?
I have always been a big fantasizer, although I really started harnessing it as one of my core tools after having kids. Because I'd be at the grocery store and I'd be like, oh, I'm so tired. This sucks. I've got to get carrots that I've got to puree and steam and then freeze into little cubes. And it's like, it's not sexy.
No.
There's so many aspects of motherhood that aren't sexy. And one day I was in Brooklyn looking at the carrots at the Fresh Market and I was like, those carrots are really, really sexy. And then the mister came on and they were like getting all wet and I was like, oh my God. And suddenly I had transformed this mundane moment where I was sort of previously in a state of irritation and then suddenly I was in a sexual fantasy. Not about using the carrot as a sex toy, but it was the senses and it was about these, they were different shapes and sizes and they were hard and fresh and glistening. And then I saw a cute stock boy in aisle 5 and I was like, oh, maybe I could have a fantasy about him. And then later on when I got the carrots home, instead of like being annoyed that I had to puree them, I was like still in that fantasy. And my kids didn't know while I was smiling, but I knew.
Yeah.
And so it's, again, it's just this practice.
Where can I find the sensuality? Because it's there. So one of the first steps would be getting your mind on board with it too.
Well, going from the idea that sex and sexuality has become a chore to it being a choice, right? So you go from chore to choice. It's a simple word choice. Sex is a chore. My husband wants it. I don't want it. To going, no, this is a choice. I'm choosing to make this a priority again. I'm choosing to put some intention in this with the partner that I love. Like, oh, it's an obligation, right?
Yeah, like have sex. I don't want to have sex.
An obligation's a boner killer.
Yeah.
Like, if your partner thinks that sex is an obligation, it's not going to get them turned on.
Exactly.
They're going to feel like, I don't want to force you. You know, that's not a turn on for me. Well, so it goes from obligation to opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. Or I get to have sex rather than
I have to have sex.
It's like another item on the to-do list. And what about being in your body? What about that? So we've got the images, we've got the fantasy. And what about if you're just not feeling great about your body anymore? It's changed.
So I think that it does change a lot. And there were moments where, especially after my daughter, after my first kid, I actually did, you know, bounce back. And this bounce back culture is really intense. And there's a lot of pressure on moms. And for me, with the first child, breastfeeding actually did sort out my body. It just, the weight came off. With the second child, it did not come off. I lost so much hair.
Really? Because yeah. Your hair is amazing. You guys.
Well, it came back. Thank God it came back. I was much bigger. My breasts were lopsided. I felt like a mess. And for me, and it's different for everyone, the practice, I think, of getting back into your body and getting back into your body confidence, for me, it's a combination of dancing in the mirror, just turning on some music and just moving in a way that feels natural to me. Masturbating for sure, self-pleasuring and making it into a ritual where I'm massaging my body or I'm dancing or I'm experimenting with different toys and just being curious what feels pleasurable to my body. So that takes away the criticism of, oh, my body should look like this, into a curious place of how might my body feel if I do this.
Exactly.
So you're going from the pain of criticism to the pleasure of, you know, beautiful touch.
Exactly. And it's going to take a second, but I love to hear your story about this because, yeah, dance in front of the mirror. Like, oh, that's silly. I could never do it. I'm sure the first time you did it, you weren't like, look at me. But talk about what that actual, if you could talk about that transformation, or at least for you.
So the first time I kind of got wind of this tool, I was young. I was living in New York. It was like right after 9/11 and things were really bad. And I had a master's degree, but I was cocktail waitressing. I was just a mess. You know, my boyfriend had broken up with me. Thanks, John Carlin.
best thing that ever happened.
Thank you. No, it is the best thing that ever happened. And I was in the mirror. I heard myself talking shit about my thighs. Mm-hmm. I heard myself in my inner voice. And I was like, you're so fat. Why can't you be smaller? You know, I was imagining like using like a liposuction. I was like delirious with this negative self-talk. And I had this moment of awareness where I was like, this is not who you are. So I took myself into the bathroom and I looked at myself in my eyes and I put my arms around myself and I just started hugging myself, connecting with my eyes in the mirror and saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. You're beautiful. And it was that moment where I realized that's my power. I can take myself out of the criticism and put myself into a state of love mm-hmm. and appreciation.
That's such a beautiful exercise.
And it worked.
You can do it anytime. It do lift. Driving the car if you're hating yourself.
Anytime.
I love you. I love you. Yeah.
Anytime. So you can do it on a specific body part. You can change that script. You can do it, you know, for yourself at large and just say, I love you. I love you. I love you. And now some women are like, but that feels false because I don't. Yeah. I don't love my butt. I don't love my wrinkly belly anymore. And that's kind of a case of like, all right, well, let's fake it till you make it. Start saying it anyway, and soon you're going to start to believe it.
Yeah, it's true.
It's like practice.
I have it written down. Like, I think for me, like, I have a journal I carry around with, like, yes. affirmations and things to remember every day. And
I would want to read your journal. Yeah, publish that.
I know, dude. I have so many journals. I just found, like, my journals from the last 20 years. They're
amazing.
My house.
Amazing.
Yes and no. But no, but it's true. Like, sometimes it's like, okay, if I'm feeling like I have to read the words, because otherwise we make up our own scripts and they're not always helpful.
Totally.
There's just so negative. You must hear this all the time. But that's it's a practice.
Yeah, it's a practice.
You have to remember. Like, go back to driving in the car, hands on the steering wheel, whatever, wherever you're, if you're driving, I always picture driving. Because to me too, I'm driving and I'm like having negative thoughts. I'm like, these are my affirmations. This is what's going on in present moment.
Yeah.
What I'm feeling and smelling and tasting.
Yeah.
So then you were like, I love myself, look in the mirror, which I've had those moments too. And I cry.
Yeah.
It was even recently. I don't think this work's ever done, by the way.
It's never done.
No, you're never done.
It's never done.
I don't
done.
Remember. It was a big moment. I think it was like last summer. And I was just feeling something. I came home when I was sad. I just looked in the mirror and I was like, I was like crying. I don't know if I say I love you, but just like I looked at myself in my eyes in a way that I hadn't before. I was like, you're fine. You're okay. You know, it's great power looking. We just hate ourselves, but we never really look. And then when you look, you're getting all this new information and then moving. Adding movement to that is just a beautiful practice.
Totally. And after the birth of my daughter, when I really felt like, I actually remember thinking, oh, she's stolen my beauty. Mm. You know, this little freckly redheaded baby. She was like 5 months old. I was like, you stole my beauty. It was a horrible feeling.
Yeah, real. I'm sure. Yeah.
And then, you know, I stood in the mirror and I was like, no, I'm not going to go down. I'm like, my beauty's not stolen. You know, I was able to lift myself out of that. And I dressed myself up and I put on my makeup and I did my hair and I did the same thing. I stood in the mirror and I complimented myself and then I turned on music and I danced in the mirror. And it's like that movement helps you stir up that self-love. It's like
you have to move.
Movement is joyful. Yeah. Dancing is joyful. It's hard to be in a bad
state when you're moving.
Yeah.
So if you're too much in your head, get more into your body and move it.
Movement.
And if you're uncomfortable looking at yourself while you're dancing, then do it not in the mirror.
Right.
Do it in a way that feels good to you, but do it. Figure it out.
Yeah, exercise, move, walk around the block, dance, something.
Yeah.
I think that if you're just stagnant, you're sitting around all day. I know, and it can be hard to get yourself out of the house or to move, but that just, for me, always. I just like
always.
Changing the state.
Always. Change the state.
Change the state.
Change, move it or lose it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, in this new program that I did, I also do a dance video and a yoga video and a stretch video. And in the dance video, the way I choreographed it, I worked with this amazing dancer who's also a mom in Miami.
Did? I love it.
So fun. Because I was like, this is my moment where I'm really showing everything that I do. I'm putting it all out there.
This is
I'm
what
showing
you've done. Yeah.
Everything that I've it's done that has worked for me. It's not theory, it's real practical stuff. And the dance moves that we designed are based on the things that you have to do every day as a mother or as a woman. So like I created a dance move out of like what it means to pick up Legos. Like I made picking up Legos sexy.
Oh, dude, I love this. Or slime, scrap.
Yeah, and there's a dance move called the slow cooker. It's like, because, you know, you put stuff in the slow cooker, you got to stir it.
Oh,
you
got to
stir it up and you got to dip your bread. You got to dip the bread and taste it. So it's like when you're in the house.
Mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Honey,
when
I
you're in the house,
this.
Just doing
so
the things
smart.
You have to do.
Yeah.
Add some fun to
Never
it. Add
Lego
some sensuality to it and just dance through it. You know, dance through
dance
it.
Dance through it. Move it. This is so good. And look, they get everyone, just so you know, Dana made a special course.
It's called the Satisfied Mama.
Satisfied Mama.
Yeah.
I just want to give it to all my friends.
Oh,
who are
it's,
not so satisfied.
I'm so proud of it.
Yeah, I'm really
so proud
of you,
it.
Too. It's very
Thank
unique,
you.
Very creative. So
Thank
here's
you.
A Lego dance.
Here's the,
okay.
There's a Lego dance. There's a slow cooker dance.
Slow cooker.
There's throwing your husband's socks. Yeah, you're like,
I am dead. I want to see these.
I'll send them to
okay,
you.
Okay, please.
Of course
please,
I will.
Please.
Of course
So that
I
is
will.
Just funny because I think you just watch it. You're like, it's not another exercise program. It's not
no.
another you showed. It's like, oh, I'm already here.
Yeah.
I am picking up Legos. I do have to cook.
Exactly.
I do have to
exactly.
breastfeed or
yep.
whatever.
Yep. And the other one that I love, and this is, I think, really important for anyone, if you're a mom or not, I call it the transition stretch. And I think what happens to a lot of women, and especially moms, is that the day finally ends. The kids are finally in bed and you're at the sink and you're doing the last load of dishes and you just want to collapse. And then there's your partner creeping up.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Okay.
The creep up, right? There's the creep up and like the half initiation and then you
dick in the back. Maybe.
Yeah. Dick in the back or even just hand on the shoulder, but you know
yeah,
what's coming.
Hand on the shoulder. Yeah.
And your body recoils and you put up your hand and you're like, no, I'm not there yet. Right. So that's why I think that planning sex is so helpful so you can manage your energy. But this transition stretch, I kind of designed it so that you can have your partner go and put the kids to bed and you go in your bedroom and do this stretch. It's like 15-minute video and it helps you release the stress of your day and start to stir up your sensual energy.
Okay, so tell me, is it like a pelvic floor thing? Are you
there's a lot,
the
yeah, there's
okay,
a lot of like pelvic circles and tilts and big hip circles. There's some touching of your body, some like connecting with your breath, connecting with your chest. And it's really simple. It's not hard to follow, but what it does is it really transitions you out of that like harried, been going all day state into a place where you can actually be receptive
yeah.
to pleasure.
Well, that just makes so much sense because that creep, I think we can all sense it with kids or not when we're not in the mood. And it's this understanding that like, you need to understand that women and men get aroused differently.
Totally.
So he sees you, you're sexy, you're doing dishes, whatever you're doing, come from behind, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Like kids are already, and you're like, no.
I'm not ready.
And then
I'm
what
even
happens, where I love that you even dance for it because this is such a great solution because what happens in the negative side of it is that sometimes you reject your partner, then they feel bad, they don't come, and there's a cycle of rejection.
Yep.
And it becomes a pattern.
Totally.
And then he's not initiating anymore. And then he feels rejection.
And then you're like, why did you stop initiating?
And then you think I'm not hot.
And he's like, because you rejected me the last 20 times.
That's literally 20 times because we don't realize it. There's all these great ways that women, and no matter what age, where you're at in your life, if you're not feeling turned on anymore, it is your responsibility to get there. It's not your partner. I mean,
right.
It's great when I always think couples are a team. You are a team.
Yeah.
And you both should be working on your sex life, but for women to learn tools to stir it up.
You have to take ownership of
it.
Yeah.
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 Really.
And you know, I think it can feel, even us saying that, I think there will be some women listening who are like, well, even that feels like a pressure. But you have to remember what the benefits are.
That you have to bring it to yourself.
That you have to bring it yourself.
Yeah, well,
because it's like, oh, one more thing I have to do. But on the flip side of that.
She's asking you to pick up the Legos and dance. Like, that's not so hard.
Right. On the flip side of that is, the energy that it brings, how it fires up your magnetism.
Let's talk about the energy. Can you explain that in your body?
Oh my God. Well, every day I feel, when I'm connecting with my central energy.
I wanted a sexy energy. Walked in. I mean, thank she you. Walks a sexy mama as she is. So.
I feel I am, you know, on my days where I'm practicing the tools and I'm practicing the habits, I feel like a ball of sensual energy and power. I feel like I can attract whatever I want. I can feel connected to the energy in my pussy. Like, I feel it. I feel the excitement. I feel the turn on. And I gotta say, going around with that fire lit up in my body feels so much better.
So much better.
It's like rocket fuel.
It is.
It's rocket fuel.
It is the source of life, true, yes. If you think about it.
It is.
But then after childbirth, a lot of women are in life, not even, you get shut down, we're disconnected. So it's really that. You will feel it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You will feel it again.
Exactly. Like doing your kegels or whatever, dancing around. Oh, yeah. Around.
Totally. Totally.
I love it. So that's a great ritual.
Thank you.
Okay. I have questions for you that we ask all of our guests.
Okay.
Well, these are new questions. Oh, I don't think exciting. You've been asked before. They're would you rathers.
Okay.
Would you rather have multiple orgasms that weren't so good or just one terrific orgasm?
One terrific orgasm, for sure.
Would you rather give a striptease or a lap dance?
Lap dance. I want to feel that grinding.
Would you rather only have sex in the bedroom or never have sex in the bedroom?
Only. Only.
Only.
I like my bedroom.
Yeah,
I like my bedroom. There's a bunch of surfaces that
I'm
we
sure.
use.
It's, I love
it's all right.
I'm sure it's fabulous.
I like it.
Okay. Would you rather be a bad kisser or bad at oral sex?
Oh, geez. I'd rather be a bad kisser and still be really good at
can't
oral
get
sex.
Oral.
No way.
Would you rather watch people have sex or have others watch you have sex?
Oh, God. Both? Can I choose
right?
both?
I guess
I
not.
Want both.
Would you rather? I do, too.
Okay, wait. Would I rather? Would I rather watch or be watched? I'd rather watch.
All right.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere. We come back more with Dana.
Freedom is a really big thing. I realized, I didn't know how powerful the connection was between freedom and my libido until I had kids and lost a lot of my freedom. Because when you have kids, for a minute, your world becomes a lot smaller. Like, especially if you're breastfeeding, because you have to be there. Or you have to pump and then try to get them on the bottle and all those things. What I missed the most when I first had children was the freedom of walking around the city or my neighborhood sort of during the dusk hours when commuters were coming home or people were going out, and that exchange of energy and seeing the sights and the sounds and the art on the street. And I was like, all of that turned me on. So suddenly I had a kid and I was at home from 4:30 till 7:30 doing all that bullshit that you have to do with a baby, which... Right. Look, it's bullshit. I call it bullshit. It's also amazing. But when you're doing it every night, you realize you've lost your freedom.
And you might not even know what that... Yeah.
I didn't realize how connected the two were. So what I started doing was once or twice a week, I did do the pumping, and I made sure that the baby would take a bottle. That was a process, but it happened. And I would pass off that responsibility to someone else, either my husband or a nanny or my mom, and I would go out. And it was literally like, I am going out to reclaim my freedom during the most difficult and exhausting hours of parenting. And so I would go out on my own. I called it the mommy pop out. I'm popping out, bitches.
I love it.
I'm out.
Sure, dude. Right.
I'm popping out. Pop out, walk around, have a coffee, have a drink at the bar, flirt with the bartender, go see a author reading or a book signing or a museum opening or a movie or a yoga class. Something that fueled my sensual imagination, right? I didn't go to Target to buy toilet paper. Because sometimes moms, that is exciting to go to Target on your own.
No,
it
they're is all exciting. The same. Yeah, it's depressing sometimes, Target, but I get it.
But the pop-out is about...
I love the mommy pop-out.
The mommy pop-out's so good. It's so good. And then I would come home and I'd be like, hey, honey, I'm turned on because I had my freedom. I didn't exhaust myself. And also, you know, when he would step up and do that, which he knew what the results were, so he was happy to.
Right, exactly.
He knew
it's
that when I came home,
positive feedback loop.
I felt turned on, and so most likely that was a night where I would be energized and inspired to have sex. So freedom is huge for your libido.
Freedom is huge because you do lose it. And I feel like I've had so many friends, because most of my friends do have kids.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've had so many conversations with them, and I just like, you have to do it. Can you get a sitter? Like all of them, they've got, you know, the kids are older now, but they've all gone through stages where I'm like, no, I can't find the sitter. Or they just have this guilt. Like I feel bad leaving them or my husband won't understand, or he won't be able to help her with her homework, or he won't be able to help him. He doesn't get how to make the lunches. Yeah. And it's like, how do you do that transition to like trusting?
You have to, this is what I call learning to love daddy style. Ooh, okay. I call it learning to love daddy style.
It's a whole new jargon here with Dana Beaners.
And, I remember in the early days, first child, Charlie would be like, you go take a bath, I'll put Rocky down. And I would be in the bath, but I was a new mom, and I was like, it has to be perfect. He has to get all 11.5 steps of bedtime perfectly correct, or otherwise Rocky won't sleep through the night. I was like a nervous wreck. So I would get myself out of the bath, and I would go stand outside the door.
And just watch. It was.
I would go stand outside the door, and if he was a minute late in getting Rocky down, I would bust in and cause a ruckus. I was that psycho. And that's when, after a couple weeks of that, Charlie was like, listen, listen to me. This is daddy style. That's what he said. This is daddy style. And you have to let me parent how I parent. He said, you're missing the point here. I'm trying to give you an opportunity to relax, to unwind, to just have free time. And you're hovering. Like, let me do me. Let me do this. And so I think it's a process of like, saying, what's the exchange here? What's the value that I'm getting? I'm getting free time. I'm getting alone time. I can pop out of the house. I can have a long FaceTime with my mom or whoever. I can go shopping. I can go to the gym. It may not be done perfect. The pajamas may be on backwards. The bathroom floor might be flooded, but you're still out. You're not doing it. So cut him some slack. Appreciate him. Appreciate his style. And appreciate the free time that you got. That's the only way to do it.
Because I just hear all my friends protesting. Like, I had to get one of my friends a nanny once. I'm like, I will find the nanny. There's a nanny board in San Francisco. Yeah. Here's where you should post it. Because there's this resistance or this guilt.
There's
or
a resistance.
Like, their moms never got help. Or you just hear so many excuses from moms. Like,
it's true.
Yeah. Like, the kids aren't going to be okay. And I can imagine.
The kids will be okay.
Yeah. They're fine.
The kids are going to be okay.
Yeah. Right.
We're such hoverers.
And also
right
this.
Now.
You're going to mess up your kids. That's why we're here on the planet.
God, yes.
Like, you're literally, I used to joke with my brother. I'm like, yeah, we'll just, like, he used to joke, like, I'm not saving up for their college fund. I'm saving up for their therapy fund. Because we all, I'm like, yes,
that's
you should
hysterical.
Do that. And it's true. Well, because, and I believe that we're all here. And that's when they were like 1 year old. Because we are all here to work on our childhood. Like, that's
right.
Where, undo it or redo it and learn what happened and grow from it. Like, I honestly believe that working through our past is what propels us into our future. So you do the best you can. You're a loving mom, and you're doing the work, and you've got a good husband. It's like nothing's ever going to be perfect. And I have to remember that too with work.
Yes,
like, it's 100%. Not going to be perfect. Like, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a big one.
Yeah.
I love that. I hope that this is just really going to resonate.
I hope so. I mean, look, I always think that guilt is a wasted emotion.
Yes.
Anger can be a very productive emotion. It can move you to take action, to express yourself, to heal wounds, whatever. But guilt, it doesn't.
It's a waste.
It's a waste. It really is.
I mean, my mom used to say that. I've never heard anyone else say that. She's like, Emily, guilt is a wasted emotion.
It's a wasted emotion.
Yeah, and then I'm like, well, but mom, you should feel guilty because you suck. No, just kidding. But, you know, but it's true, though. It's not even emotion.
Right.
No, it's more like it's loosely tied to anxiety, which also isn't emotion.
I hate anxiety.
I know, right?
I hate it.
So it's like this practice. Now, what about masturbation? For a lot of women, moms or no moms, they never even masturbate. They're like, well, I've got a husband, I've got a partner, or I've got a toy, but I don't ever use it, or it's been a while, or things don't feel the same, I don't feel sexy. Do you like the gateways for moms, or good toys that you like, or like different like quickies for moms?
I mean,
in your program?
I think the thing is,
or it works for you.
When I sit down on Sunday night to look at my week, I always sketch in a solo session, right? I map out where I'm going to masturbate.
Put it in the calendar.
I do. I put it in the calendar just like I put everything else in the calendar. My work tasks, my fitness, you know, where I'm going to get my fitness, what I'm going to cook and meal plan. So I schedule it in. And I think that for most moms, it's like organization really helps your family life run smoothly. So why not also organize where you're going to get your pleasure? Especially
That's another way for self-care.
Yes.
Prioritizing your pleasure.
Yeah. And I think that this is the thing. Don't wait for the desire to strike. Right.
Yeah.
If you're not in the habit of regular self-pleasure and you're like, well, why am I going to do this or when or how? Don't wait for this sudden urge of like lust for yourself to strike. Make a date with yourself. Lay down. Grab a toy. Put it on your body. be curious about how it feels. And within what, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you're gonna have an amazing orgasm. Yeah. You'll be surprised.
And you'll never regret it.
Never.
It resets. It resets you. It feels good. You're like, your eyes, you get color in your skin.
I had the best orgasm last night with myself. I have to say, I think I had the best sexual experience ever with myself last night.
What happened?
Oh, God.
She's away from her husband now. She's visiting LA. She was coming on Sex with Emily.
You know, I went out dancing with friends last night. I was really in my body. I had so much fun. I felt so much love. And I came home and I bought this new crystal wand from Shock Rubs, which is amazing.
I've heard about Shock Rubs, yeah.
Do you not own a Shock Rubs
No.
yet? Clear quartz dildo.
No.
So beautiful. I named mine the Rainbow Rocket. Because I feel like it's like a manifestation tool. Like there's like a prism inside the quartz,
yeah.
which looks like a rainbow. And I was like, this is the rocket to my dreams. This is my vehicle. And then I have this new wand from a brand called Lestelle.
Okay,
it's a little bit like the Lilo Smart Wand,
okay.
which whoever's listening, it's the best. Lilo
okay.
Smart Wand and Medium.
Okay.
So good.
All right.
And I used both of them, and I was just, you know, I'm in a hotel, so it's like new surfaces to
Love
be on.
Hotel sex.
Turned on this OJ's song. Hold on. I want to tell you.
Play it.
Okay, hold on.
Sexy,
it's so
sexy
good.
Sexy playlist.
Oh my God, this is the best. Hold on. This is so good. I heard it in my Uber, and I started to get aroused on my way home from the bar. Okay, hold on a second.
Do it.
How
do
can
it.
I play this in here?
Just play it
to the mic?
Yeah.
Okay, hold
yeah.
on a second. Hold on. It's called Let Me Make Love to You. It's gonna get to the good part soon.
Yeah.
Hold on. Closer. Hold on. I mean, come on. Come on, let me make love to you, baby.
I love it.
And then there's this, and he says, I won't stop until you ask me to.
Oh my God, it's so hot.
And you know what?
You find it in the Uber.
You know what?
It
was
the
inspiration was
in
the Uber, and I was like, what song is this? I was literally aroused in the Uber. This guy's like, oh my God. I was like, is this safe for me? I didn't tell him I was aroused.
Right. Thank you.
And I didn't tell him. I was like, Dana, keep it together. I said, what song is this? So good. And so I got it in my Spotify. I immediately went upstairs, put the record on, got my toys out. Danced around the room listening right. to the OJs.
I love it. It's called
and
the OJs.
The OJs. And I just, you know what? It was just this combination of being, you know, I had a gin and tonic and I was just super like in having a love fest with my friends and dancing. And then this music, all these sensual inputs, right?
It's all sensual.
And then the hotel room, right? Being in a new space. And then I just... Oh, I just had all these wonderful fantasies. I'm going to keep some of the details for myself.
Yeah, that's okay. You've shared a lot.
But afterwards, I was literally like, I think that was the best sexual experience I may have ever had in my whole life.
Wow.
With myself.
Oh my God. See, that
With
is possible.
Myself. It's possible.
We don't tell Charlie that, but...
No, you know what? It's
life,
like, you know
would,
what?
Though.
That's okay. Because I thought
Maybe
about that.
Maybe your best
that.
Alone experience. No, best
No, I
life.
Actually... that You know, it's interesting that you brought that up because I had that thought like, oh, well, like, is that a bummer for Charlie? Like, if I acknowledge that that was actually the best sexual experience I've ever had in my whole life. But you know what? The longest relationship, sexual or not, that I'm ever going to have in my whole life is with myself.
That's true.
That's it. It's
that
the
is
one,
true,
it, that's
girl.
It. That's it. It's the longest one I've ever had. I've had it with myself my whole life. Like, I can own that as a sovereign being.
Yes, exactly. And it wasn't like it was with the Uber driver. It was with yourself.
It was not with the
And you were loving
Uber
yourself.
Driver.
And it sounds like in your relationship, he'd be very happy for you.
And I think, you know, I think he would. I think he'd probably be like, well, show me. And I would.
I've heard about these shock rubs. Someone tell me about. But like using a dildo and a clitoral vibe is what we're talking
yes,
about, which is
yes,
the best.
Both.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I love that. I love that combo.
I love the combo.
Yeah.
I'm a combo
like,
girl.
Because like rabbit vibes are great, but this way you can control everything.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I agree.
It was very
oh,
special.
Oh, I'm glad you're having such a sexy special time in Los
I
Angeles.
And so this is like my extended mommy pop out. You know, it's like
yeah.
I've got 4 days of
you
freedom.
Do
I'm
it.
Expressing myself. I'm enjoying myself. And, you know, the first day I got here, I had the guilt, which I usually don't have when I leave my kids. And it struck me down. I really felt like, can I be away from them? Have I made the right choice? Is this the right thing to do? And it took me like a day to kind of settle into it
yeah.
and to continue to give myself permission that I'm allowed to step outside of my role as mother and orchestrator of our family life.
Exactly.
And to just have my own life.
And they're going to be fine. The kids are going to be fine.
They're fine.
Everything's going to be okay. Maybe reaching out to your friends. I mean, here's the thing
I
that did. I love.
I reached out to my friends.
Yeah, I have like my girls too that I call with something, you know, we. Yep. I think we all have to have our like our ride or die. And I have fortunate that I have a lot of them. And I'm, you know, close that I, the people you could call when you're about to, for anything.
Yeah.
But what I realize is when I don't have that, that's also something that's missing. And I feel like if let's say I've gone a few days or I haven't seen them in a while. And like I was telling you earlier, a lot of them are not in LA. So yeah. I had to work on building community in Los Angeles. But how important that is for women, because I think that you do have kids, you get busy in your life and you just think, well, it's not important. I just have my family. And then you got to make those friends again.
Yeah.
But I think it's like women, it shouldn't just be like a should. Like it should be like you require it.
Community's everything.
Women. Yeah.
And you know, to think about the way we used to live, they always say like, well, we used to live in villages. And it's like motherhood, I think, was easier because one night one woman would cook, right? One night another woman would cook, and for the whole tribe, right?
Yes, and you all watched each other's kids.
You all watched each other's kids. And now we're sort of, oftentimes we've moved away from our families and we're mothering in isolation.
It's true.
So finding
such a problem.
Friend family and building that community is so important.
Yeah, my friend had that isolated. In Brooklyn. She was there and she was like, oh my God, everyone in the neighborhood. She just moved back to San Francisco. She's like, but I miss it. Everyone's kids were coming over and we all knew everyone.
Makes everything so much easier.
It does. Well, I'm glad that you've had that.
Yeah.
Now, what about sex hacks for when you have kids?
Oh my God.
That. What do you do?
The other night.
I was talking to a friend recently and she's like, I don't feel comfortable having sex even when the kids are home. And they're like 8 and 6. I'm like, eight and six. Yes.
Not even when they're in the house at all.
No, she still has, she can't totally be herself. She has it, but she doesn't feel like she can let go as much.
So what
do you guys do for this?
That's a really good question. And I would say at least once a week, I make sure the kids get out of the house and so that we have 2 to 3 hours to have like a real proper long love session.
Love it.
So the nanny, I'll organize for her to take them to a museum or to the park or to Target or, you know, bribe
them.
Let them get the toilet paper at Target.
Yeah,
totally. I agree. You know, you do feel more free, like you can really relax, like you can be more vocal when the kids are out of the house. So once a week, I organize that. I make sure that happens.
That's a good tip.
Yeah. Organize it.
Once a week, like it has to be on the calendar.
Yeah, it has to be so that you can organize for the childcare and make it happen. You know, it's interesting. I never let our kids sleep in our room. Never, ever. I was very rigid with that. And then when our son started having like a little bit of nighttime anxiety and struggling to fall asleep last year, I couldn't be as rigid with him. It was a real shift in mothering for me. It was like, oh, he's a real human having real feelings here. I can't just shove him back in his bed and tell him that's it. So he now comes into our room, which is so weird for me because I was always like, this is our space.
Right.
This is the marriage space. So it's harder for us to have sex at night, right? Because there's a human in our room.
Right.
And because we work together, so we'll just try to have sex during the day.
Yeah, how do you, okay.
So now our sex has mostly shifted to daytime sex.
Which is fun.
Which
We're
is
all
fine.
Awake.
Good. Yeah. I have more energy. But look, I think, you know, if you've got kids in the house and they're asleep, turn off the monitor so you don't have one ear on the monitor and one ear trying to have great sex.
Right.
It's like, try to focus your energies where they are.
It's a good mindfulness everywhere.
Yeah. And also know that, like, you know, when parents are getting their love needs met, it's only ever a good thing for the kids. That's like full stop. Happy parents who are fulfilling each other's love needs and intimacy needs, your kids are going to be happy.
Yeah, you're a better parent.
You're a better parent.
Better everything. It's
so
true.
Prioritize.
Prioritizing
exactly.
Pleasure. I love that you have all these, that you have all these tapes and this course coming out.
The cool thing is that I'm not trying to like change anyone into some, you know, Victoria's Secret angel version of what sexy is. I think what the practice is in the book and what the practice is in the new program, it's really about discovering what's uniquely sexy about you and what works for your sex life and relationship and self-confidence at this moment.
So what about the variety part of it? Have you ever gotten to like a rut or you're like,
of course.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, of course. We all fall in and out of ruts.
You will fall into a rut. And if you've never fallen into a rut, I don't believe you.
Yeah, totally. So look, I mean, you can, you know, obviously the easy way to spice things up is bring in a toy, bring in, you know, watch a little porn that interests you. The thing that I'm loving these days is what I call playing with erotic energies. And it's sort of like very light fantasy, very light role play. So I had planned to have sex on a Thursday night. And so Charlie was putting the kids to bed. I was doing my stretching and my dancing. And then I was in the shower and he came in and he said, What are you in the mood for, love? And out of nowhere, I just said, I want to wrestle. I want to wrestle. And I had been watching Glow on Netflix, it's and so I really loved yeah. their outfits. They're like shiny wrestling, gorgeous ladies of wrestling outfits. And I wasn't in the mood for like slow erotic sex. I wasn't in the mood to watch porn. But this idea, this erotic energy of I want to wrestle was like a hint. It was a hint at what kind of energy I wanted. Yeah. I wanted like to kind of like have our bodies colliding and to sort of pin each other down and just be like rough and tumble, but in a bit of a funny way. And the sex that we wound up having that night had this new energy. And I was like running across the room and like body slamming him. And we were like tumbling and right. tossing. And it was so fun. And it was just four
Sounds
words.
So fun and put, right.
It was just four words, but it completely re-energized and brought this new energy. And so that became our thing. He would ask me, what are you in the mood for, love? And I would say, I want you to pet me like a cat. Because I was wearing these yeah. like yummy jersey jammies and I felt all slinky in them jammies and I felt like a cat and I just wanted to be pet like a cat. And so that evoked this other kind of sensual, and I was purring and crawling, and so that brought that like that brought a whole different flavor to sex.
Exactly, I love it.
So what I recommend to women to do is, you know, to spend a minute when you're not in the bedroom writing down phrases, writing down these erotic energies that might interest you. It could be anything: hot and cold, pretend you're from Spain, pat me like a cat, right. you know, anything. And then practice saying them to yourself in the mirror so that you get comfortable with your voice,
right.
so that you get comfortable hearing yourself say that. So when your partner says, what are you in the mood for? You already have something to say. You know?
What if your partner never says, what are you in the mood for?
You have to ask them. Say, babe, when we have sex on Sunday, I want you to ask me, what are you in the mood for?
Great.
That's
Feed
it.
That to them.
They're ask like, for it.
Now, what
ask
if they
it.
Ask you, right. And then what if there are people have never talked about sex? I don't know. I talk about this all the time, but couples are like, we've never talked about it. Or they feel like it's just... it's not okay for to ask for what they want. But I guess if they start doing your program and masturbating, they're going to
get more permission. I think that, look, it can be uncomfortable to talk about sex if you don't feel like you have the word choices or if you, you know, or if you're just not in the practice of it. But a really easy way to do it is to sit down over a glass of wine and say, we're going to talk about sex for the next 30 minutes. I have three questions that this girl on Sex with Emily said to say. So you say, what's great about our sex life? What could be better? And how can we co-create a sex life that feels exciting and compassionate for this moment in our life right now?
I love it. Yeah.
And it's like, that's not that hard.
No, it's okay. Really not that hard.
We can talk about
We're
that.
Talk about it. We've never talked about it. I think we can both agree our sex life is important.
Yeah.
So this is time. Let's start now.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. I say I love it over
and
glass
it's
of
important
wine. When you're
you
not
know,
in the bedroom.
Yeah, when you're not in the
don't
bedroom.
Don't do it in the bedroom. It's the worst time to do it. I know you should cook in the kitchen. This yeah. makes sense if I told you not to, but bedroom yeah. talk outside. Do not.
And if it starts to turn into like a blame game conversation where you or your partner's focusing on the lack of sex, you have to say, no, let's come back to the opportunity. Yes, there may have been a lack or a drought, but let's talk about the opportunity. What could be better? Well, we could have sex more often. What does that mean to you? What would be good for you? Three times a week? Well, mine's once a week. Okay, so look, we could land it twice a week.
Yeah.
And it's like just taking away the fear.
So much fear. And the blaming and the shaming.
Yeah.
Like not coming at a place where like if it's the first time you've talked about it, you haven't in a while, like clean slate.
That's why I start with what's great.
I love it.
Start with
what's
positive.
Great, what could be better?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so hard though, the what could be better, because sometimes couples like we always take it into the negative or something's wrong with me. But just remember if you're doing it in a
Well, and when you answer
place,
that question, what could be better? You want to start with a positive. So I love how we kiss, and I would like to explore this new position. Not, but I want to explore
yeah.
this new position, and I'd like to try this.
After but is bullshit.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's good. Good tips, Dana.
Thank you.
Oh, this is awesome. So everyone's got to check out your course when it comes out. Check out your book, The Mommy Mojo Makeover. So you took your book basically in your... And expanded it into videos.
I expanded it. There's a lot of new content, yeah, in the program. There's a lot of new stuff.
Oh, Dana,
yeah.
I think this is going to be such a great service for
Thank
women
you.
Everywhere.
Thank
and
you.
And I'm excited to watch it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dana.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
much.
For being here. You
You're
can
a
everyone
rock
can
star.
Find this. You are, honey. I'm
oh
so proud
God.
Of everything you're doing. This is amazing. Everything, I'll be on the show notes, danabmeyers.com.
Thank
Anywhere
you.
Else they should know.
That's it, danabmeyers.com.
It's all
Let's
the info
it.
You need. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.